Retirement, medical, social service, and employment. Child of Social Care 2019, suspension of family orders, and run over to the transport. First, I'd like to move on to Standing Order 7-1, the rules of proceeding with a government statement. Those in favor? Those against? Added? This has been either Speaker or President of the South Florida House of Parliament or Congressional or Deputy. I announced at 3:30 p.m. He was communicating to the King of Spain that he has been our Prime Minister of Spain, Mr. Mariano Rajoy, has left the motion of confidence and censure in the South Parliament. As a result of that same motion, a majority of the members of the Congress have voted that the leader of the PSOE Socialist Party, Pedro Sánchez, Castellón, should be appointed Prime Minister, leading a minority socialist government. It's become important that that political change in Spain at this time in our history cannot be underestimated. As the leader of the most present Labour Party and as Chief Minister of the Volga and leader of the South, I would in a few moments ago, before coming back to the House, Pedro Sánchez, to congratulate him on the result of that motion seeking his appointment as Prime Minister. In this circumstance, upon him offering my congratulations, I've also tendered to Mr. Sánchez my desire to bring dialogue, understanding, and cooperation to the issues that arise between our people. I think the next 10 months will be decisive in many ways for Gibraltar as we move towards the 29th of March 2019 and our departure from the European Union with the United Kingdom. The result of the events of the South Parliament today will mean that the ideology of those whom we engage with in Spain and the manner in which we engage with them may change. As I've already said in writing to the new president of the Spanish government, we will not be found wanting when it comes to demonstrating the willingness of the people of Gibraltar to engage constructively in dialogue in pursuit of policies designed to deliver cooperation and good neighborly relations between our people. I sincerely wish that we will see that sentiment reciprocated so that we can advance matters in the common interest of the citizens we each represent. Was there any other decision? We welcome the statement by the Chief Minister, particularly in relation to which is in which he says in relation to the manner in which we may engage in Spain. But on that point, Mr. Speaker, it's clearly interesting that there's a demographic development which we must continue to monitor. In our view, Mr. Speaker, it's too soon to reach firm conclusions on the particular impact of Spain, but also the impact in Gibraltar. It is true, Mr. Speaker, that traditionally it has been easier to deal with a social direct government in Spain. However, Mr. Speaker, the Spanish government, as the Chief Minister rightly pointed out, is a minority socialist government and therefore is in a fragile position, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we identify clearly that there is possibly an opportunity here to re engage in talks, Mr. Speaker, that otherwise fails to be. And Mr. Speaker, we also identify possibly an opportunity to restore to be bilateral process. Mr. Speaker, it is true, of course, that recently the social segment has had a greater deal of support in Andalusia, insofar as the support is part of the right to demand and demand the Spanish workers, Mr. Speaker. But I know a more micro point, Mr. Speaker, on this side of the House, Mr. Speaker, we are quite prepared to be privately briefed by the Chief Minister and his government on the wider impact once it becomes more clear to the government.
The Honourable Madame Castellon.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to allow myself for the comments made by the Chief Minister today. The developments in Spain were driven specifically by the corruption cases against key members of the ruling party. A convention of those in the Spanish Parliament stood up for accountability and to decisions can be reversed, settlements overturned. But despite this uncertainty, Mr. Speaker, democracy must continue to regenerate. People who use their power and are trying to exploit a lack of accountability must be challenged, not celebrated. And while we can cautiously celebrate the current disrepair of the right-wing government in Spain and what it might mean for politics here locally, including Brexit negotiations, we must work in the spirit that is opposite to the instability that has rooted the whole government recently. Mr. Speaker, I mentioned the cross-cultural working group, and it is quite clear that there is scope for an attitude that contrasts with the Bavarian or British style of doing this. If communities on both sides of the border can cooperate with goodwill and cooperation while respecting the red lines of sovereignty, we can fight the narrative of the Spanish right wing. In seeking dialogue, we find the actual statement. In seeking collaboration, we escape the siege mentality. And in seeking respect, we can be an example of stability in an unstable world. What happened in Spain proves that injustice led by us, Mr. Speaker, and we in this House are accountable to the people of this community. At the end of the day, Mr. Speaker, anybody who thinks they can get away for abusing the system for their own interests or out of their own ends will be proved wrong.
Well, I don't know what part of clarification over your backlog. I think I'm very pleased, Mr. Speaker, to have the opportunity to respond to the leader of the opposition. And that I used the term no advisedly in the statement that I made to the House. And I note his proposal that we should privately brief them when we see how the change may manifest itself in the context of Brexit negotiations, etc. And what we will do, Mr. Speaker, is continue to brief them. Because I don't want anyone to think that he's invited us to brief them as if we weren't doing that. I think it would be acknowledged by them that they have been briefed on a number of occasions with respect to confidential aspects of what we have been trying to achieve in the context of discussions that are being held. And so nobody can go away thinking that there is an absence of briefings with members of the other side. Interesting, of course, to hear honourable members' analysis of the political situation in Spain. I don't think that's what this moment is for. I'm very happy to chew the fat with them over coffee and what happened in the past 48 hours in Spain, but I don't think that a government statement in respect of the position of the people of Gibraltar tended to a new Spanish president is the moment to start having discussions about Edgar Ángel Parra and referring to the immediate top president of our neighbouring nation just by his last name. It is clear to us on this side of the House that there is a desire for dialogue and cooperation which the people of Gibraltar have been making manifest for many, many years under successive governments of Gibraltar. There are some instances when Spanish governments have been able to have the maturity to approach the people of Gibraltar and pick up the opportunity for dialogue and cooperation. I'm very hopeful that we will see such an opportunity again in the future. When that opportunity manifests itself, I'm sure that the people of Gibraltar will not be found wanting, as I said in my statement a few moments ago.
Well, the remaining questions. I understand the Honourable Samantha Sacramento.
I think we're going to proceed with the questions in the other area.
We now return to answers. Questions for oral answer. We commence with question number 442. The Honourable Ms. Andy Hassanan.
Thank you. will have been advised by the United Kingdom that the process could be followed by the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, which is what the government committed itself to housing one Syrian refugee family when the crisis broke out. But we have no alternative but to do so through the UK and the UN, because we're not able to engage directly by identifying the family. If I understand that all other UK overseas territories have abandoned their attempts to pursue similar situation, however, Gibraltar remains constantly engaged. Once the family is identified, we will then make a decision on how to accommodate them.
Question number 443, the Honourable D.A. Peterson. In relation to the recent commitment by the Chief Minister during the May Day rally to bring an end to the use of agency staff in the civil service, is it the intention of the government to employ agency staff currently working within the civil service directly? I'll answer this question with 444. Question number 444, the Honourable Alec Lennon.
Is the Speaker with the government coming to employ some by labour workers in the civil service and authorities and agencies to see first term contracts?
The
government is in the process of considering with the relevant unions how best to implement our decision to end the use of agency staff in the civil service.
The Chief Minister conducted an analysis in terms of how many people are currently affected by this problem. Of course, if you talk about ending the practice, one way in which we can end the practice is by stopping meeting contracted labour in civil service. Another way is by employing people that are frequently the recruitment agencies and closely in the civil service. How many people do you think this is likely to affect, and how many people do you think that the government of Libya are going to be employed at the end of the process?
We have conducted a second analysis, which was the first supplementary that he asked me, and I don't have the data with me to give him the answer for the supplementary question.
Well, I would be right. The government does envisage increasing the quota in the civil service by actually employing some of these people that are currently placed in the civil service in the recruitment agencies.
Because the government is in the process of considering the relevant unions how best to implement our decision to end the use of agency staff in the civil service.
Question number 445, the Honourable Eric Jones.
Minister, the third question in 2018 is the government now able to provide details in relation to the modifications required of the Midterm Party?
The government of the Spanish members of the public have been fitted with electromagnetic detectors which hold the doors open at all times. In the event of a fire, the fire detection system is triggered and automatically releases doors and allows the inbuilt door closers to close the doors.
I don't believe that is part of the long-term measure which is going to provide the accessibility that is required for that building. In fact, when this thing has a door to the system, and I don't think there's been any fire, so the government intends to actually look at this in a more mature manner, long-term manner, in order to ensure that there is accessibility to that building for disabled users.
I shall speak to the matter and understand what it was that they were doing when the Honourable Gentleman was there. They were not gainfully waiting, keeping the door open. I shall speak information of what the Honourable Gentleman has told me. But Mr. Speaker, surely there is something which is, which should have been planned
from the onset from the building at the time. Yesterday we heard the Minister for Equality saying how the government has actually implemented in all its policies as if the Stability Act were already in force, and therefore that is not reconciled with how we see that this building is presenting itself to users who have disabilities such as mobility. I don't agree with the information I have is different to the information that was brought to the South. I do not expect the information that was brought to the South at face value. And if the doors do what I am told that they do, then they would provide the accessibility that the honourable lady would expect to be provided.
As the residents of the party in Boston within Parliament, that spends about half an hour every single day riding around the world looking for parking. Of course, that's just the way over the two because we've got this parking at number 6 common building. That's the point here. I can tell you, Honourable Chief Minister, from my own experiences, those doors, you need to be trained 3 times a week in a gym in order to open those doors. Those doors are really heavy doors, and some of you with mobility difficulties. Indeed, I have seen pensioners with difficulties trying to open those doors. So it needs a point that to somebody that needs to access midtown, it is an important point. And I think it's rather fair to the Chief Minister to dismiss it in the way that he has. And I hope, and I ask the Chief Minister, I mean rhetorically, but by way of supplementary question, that whether he is going to be doing this.
In that case, we asked that question, and I think that the answer gave the Honourable Gentleman a few moments ago, which was that I would look into the information that he has provided. But I am surprised that he has got to his feet to tell us that he spends time at the Midtown Car Park, because he's frequently told us that he never went to the Midtown Car Park because it's full. And one of the reasons that he's now turned the full attention of the inside the parliamentary style to parking is because he can't find parking. And then buy it the town. So I don't know which of the two would be able to take for granted. But given that he is the advocate of anything that he thinks might somehow give rise to the public being less than a time satisfied with the magnificent progress that the government of Gibraltar has undertaken in time that we have been in office, I have no doubt he will want to continue to pursue this matter in the short time that he told us he had left in this parliament. Given his commitment not to stand for election again when the Parliament is today. Unless, of course, the Speaker is no longer standing by that commitment, although I understand it is the requirement of some for their return to the executive.
I use the Midtown car park frequently, not during the weekend.
have all of the necessary fire, etc., permissions required, and that they don't have a door. And that is why they have to go for it. That is why, Mr. Speaker, the first sentence of my prepared answer, when you might have been too busy posting on some social media, which happens to be
a notice has been issued in the Gazette with a commencement date, given the progress that has recently been made, and a date for the commencement of the Act has been set in a couple of weeks.
Of the House is now adjourned to Friday. between the 6th and the 3 p.m. in the afternoon. I have indicated to some of the honourable members' offices that given the date for the European Council meeting, which will be held at the end of June, between the 28th and the 29th of June, this year I anticipate that we shall be taking the debate on the appropriation bill in July, probably in late July. And it will not be possible for the government to attend to further parliamentary business with any regularity between now and then. But I expect to be able to return to the House to deal with motions first on that date, and then to come back to deal with legislation on a later date, culminating or starting with the date on which we deal with the appropriation debate. We're now adjourned until Sunday, the 16th of June, at